Hey, Saints, how you doing? Just jumping on a little quick, like we did last time, and to make a couple announcements and let everybody get on. It's Crosswind Gathering time, and we're glad to see you. We hear from the governor that maybe in a couple weeks or something that we might be able to meet again. My guess is that the numbers will be small, and we'll have to space out and use every other row and be nervous and wear our face mask and wash our hands and do all that stuff. And we're doing that to keep the at-risk folks like me safe. And I'm also doing something about some of my at-risk stuff. I'm trying to diet. And good luck with that. And so I just wanted to tell everybody howdy, and I wanted to tell you that as it relates to the ministry of Crosswind, we've been having a blast continuing to do ministry. We're counseling remotely and doing a lot of that. We're working on our counseling certification for Crosswind. We're feeding people. Brett goes out every week and delivers what will be this week 80 meals to families in partnership with Coca-Cola, or it's the the food service version of Coke over there. And so we're doing all that stuff. We're still caring for people, or we're still trying to get people hooked up. If they're homeless, to homeless services. The shelters have shut down in large part, so that's been a real challenge for us to be able to care for people who are homeless. And so we're doing the best we can, like everybody else is, with what they've got going on. And so we're glad about all that, and we just want to let you know that we're glad that you're here. And it's good to see you. And we're trusting that we can continue the way that we have in our Bible studies. And some of you are doing those remotely through Zoom. I know our life group is. We have a great life group on Thursday night that meets, and 15 to 20 of us every week, and by Zoom. And some of this technology has just been fabulous, and we're thankful to the Lord for it. And so, I want you to continue to get together. The church needs to be together. They need each other. We need to text each other. We need to call each other. We need to hear each other's voices. We need to touch each other in the best way that we can. And so do all that. And so I'm glad that we've had a little summer feeling weather. Being able to walk around and get out and get some exercise and let the sun burn the virus off, and don't fact check that, and all the different things that we're trying to do just to be okay. Some of you are beginning to gently come back into your workplaces, and our prayer is that God protect you and that God help everybody to be careful and not get this virus, which really causes trouble, and particularly to the elderly. And so there you go, a little update there. We're going to continue in our Ephesians study, and our Ephesians study has been this conversation about who we are in Christ. That is, what has Jesus Christ done for us? And what is that one act that Paul talks about in Romans 5 that God did that changed everything? That one act of righteousness. We know that our forefather Adam did one act of disobedience. That one act literally brought sin and death to us all. We were conceived in iniquity, and sin our mothers brought us forth, and we proved that right quickly. But Christ did one act. And he did one act to save his people from their sins, and to save his sheep, to save his bride. to save his church. And he did that one act for you and me. And that one act was that he died and resurrected for us. And we're glad. And because we're his, and because we have been one of the blessed ones, because we have been one of the ones who Christ died for, and we've believed that gospel, and God has made us, God has testified to our own hearts that we're his children. We've cried out, Abba, Father. What happens is that we have every spiritual blessing, and it's ours. And we still have a problem, and our problem is that sin is still in the flesh. We're still in a human body. We still wrestle and struggle, and the Bible will say later, war against the flesh, and we're going to look at the armor of our warfare when we get to chapter 6. But what we're studying now is that since God has done what he has done in his act of redemption, his act of claiming us as his own, his act of cleaning us up and making us his, then how then shall we live? Or to say it in the verse in chapter 4, if you've got your Ephesian book with you, you can pull it out. If you have a thick Bible, you'll need it tonight, because I'm going to go to a couple other places that I'll refer you to. But Paul in chapter 4, verse 1 says, I therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So that's what we've been studying. Well, how do you walk in the manner that's worthy of the calling to which we've been called? And so we have looked that God first says, well, get this part right. You're one with one another. You're one body. You don't get to be separated anymore. And you don't get to think independently of each other. Your burdens are my burdens, and my burdens are your burdens. And I care for you, and you care for me. And God has granted that to our hearts, to be one with another. And we're supposed to keep that unity in the bond of peace. And that is, we're supposed to work towards being what God has made us to be. Like when a married couple and God makes the married couple one, and Jesus says, I made them one. Well, we're supposed to work toward that unity. And so that unity is a reality. It's a spiritual reality, but it's also something that because of the sin in the flesh, we have to work toward. And so we work toward that spiritual reality. Well, so, and we looked at, okay, we're one with one another, and God has given to the church, to his special people, what he's given to us is he's given to us a people who can grow us up and who can build us up in the faith. And the faith means what we believe, because we've seen that our enemy is believing their lies and nonsense. And so we've seen that. And then we saw this wonderful pattern emerge. And this wonderful pattern, and you remember it, if you've got your Ephesians Bible there, it started in verse 17, and it ended up in verse 24. And it was literally God talking about how he pulls all this off and what our spiritual reality is, and how then should we walk worthy of that spiritual reality. And what he essentially says is that here's what you used to be like. You used to be futile in your thinking. You didn't have any understanding. The natural mind can't conceive the things of God. You were blinded and you just couldn't see the light. You couldn't see what was right to do. And so essentially you were just this fallen animalistic form of human, and you weren't who God imaged you to be in Christ Jesus because of your fallenness. And what God has done is God has done in his saving us is that he has brought us into this place. And I'll just read it to you right there, right, real quick out of verse 24, and he tells us to put on our new self. It is created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And the Colossian passage that shares this passage that a joint text says that we are being created into the image of God. We are imaging that God. In other words, when we look at the highest ideal of who God intended the human to be, it wasn't Adam, it was Christ. And God, in the new birth, has etched that image in our hearts. And he is teaching us about him, and we're growing in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus. And so that then our practical outworking is this, that I still have the flesh and I still have the sin that's in the flesh. And so what does that do? Well, that makes me want to act like the dead person that I was, this natural human being who has no access to God, who doesn't know the things of God. And those desires and those thoughts, which are evil and come out of my flesh, and they're self-destructive and they don't come from God, all those things just pop into my mind. And what happens is so then I want to behave according to that. Well, God says that now in Christ, you don't behave that way. You're imaged after a new guy. Then his name is Jesus. And you're supposed to put him on, and you're supposed to walk like he walks and be imitators of Christ. We'll see that in Ephesians 5:1. I don't want to get ahead of myself on that, but that's a wonderful passage. But that's where we're headed. And so we're supposed to imitate Christ. And we saw last week, and we saw the week before, particular ways where God is showing us how this put off, put on, because of who you are. So here's what it is. Put off the old manner of doing stuff. Put on the new manner of doing things, because you're in Christ, okay? And you're being imaged after him. And so that's the principle of this whole thing. So we looked at several different things. Last week we looked at anger, and God tells us to put that off and to put on this other stuff, you know, this gentleness and tenderness and forgiveness and all that. So tonight I'm going to take two of them. I'm going to go really fast on one and spend most of our time on the other one. And so we're at Ephesians 4:28. So turn there with me, Ephesians 4:28. It says, let the thief no longer steal, but let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands. So put off stealing, put on labor and honest work with your own hands. Honest, right? Work, meaning, you know, that's that whole spiritual side, so that he may have something to share with anything in need. One of the common denominators that we saw when it said, don't lie, because we're one with one another. So think about this as it relates to stealing. So you're my brother, and I love you, and our lives really are connected in spiritual ways, but also material ways. We work out our lives together. And so I come and steal from you. So who have I really stolen from? Well, I've stolen from myself. I've ruptured the body. It's like the hand stealing from the foot. It's like the hand being jealous that the foot has a fingernail polish. And the only reason I'm saying that is because the women are getting real upset about that. And my wife in particular, she's lost her little fake nails and her toenails. She wants me to start painting starting tonight when I get home. I have to paint the toenails. And so what I'm saying is that, and then her fingernails will be jealous because her toenails are going to look pretty, because I'm fairly good at it, by the way. I probably could open one of the salons but anyways, let me just say this, that, what my whole point is that how can the body steal from itself? Why would the body do something to injure itself? Why would the body do that? You know, the body doesn't do things to injure itself. So here's what the body does. I go out and I work so that I can share with the body, so that I can bless the body, so that I can be a blessing to the body. And so that's how that works. Okay, so, and then here comes the next one, and this is the big one. We're going to spend the rest of our time on this. And this is my blurb said, I wish, if there was anything I wish I could take back, it was the things that I've said that have hurt people. I've been in counseling for a long time. And let me just tell you, I've heard a lot of people say things like this. I wish you would have run me over with a car rather than say that. Let me read you the verse. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. No worthless talk, no garbage talk. He's not talking about cussing. He's talking about talk. He's talking about talk that destroys rather than builds up. Because listen to the juxtaposition. Listen to what he's saying. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. That's the put off part. But only such as good for building up. In other words, don't say anything out of your mouth that's going to tear your brother or sister down. Say things that's going to build them up. As it fits the occasion, that it may be, give grace to those who hear. Okay, so put off corrupting talk. Put on building up talk that fits the occasion. I'm going to talk about all that in just a second. And here's the why, that it may give grace to those who hear. So back to Jesus here, like I did last week, Jesus' words are stronger than Paul's words on all of this stuff. I mean, Jesus literally says, when you go to the judgment, there's not a single word that you've said that you're not going to give account for. None. That's strong words. And listen to what Jesus also says in Matthew 15. If you have your Bible, you can flip over there. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Since I can't see how good of a sword drill guys you are and how fast you flip there, I'm just going to go ahead and read it. Now, listen to this. Matthew 15, Jesus talking. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this is what defiles a person. What comes out of the mouth came from your heart. And this is what defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts. And by the way, those evil thoughts are the things that end up in my mouth and that end up tearing you down. Murder. Remember, we saw that last week. Hatred and murder, same, same. Adultery, we saw that last week. What's in the heart before adultery? Lust, what's in the heart before murder, hate? Sexual immorality, same. Theft, we just talked about it. Theft is in the heart first. I don't have enough. Some unbelieving thing. God cheated me. God cheated me and gave the other guy more, so I need to take his. Become our own God. False witness, that's lies. That's me. Not speaking the truth. We already talked about that a couple weeks ago. And slander. So one of the big sins of the tongue, gossip and slander. Gossip is me saying something about somebody that may or may not be true. It does not matter. Let me say that again. Gossip is me saying something about somebody that may or may not be true. It does not matter. In order to expose someone's sins, in order to expose someone's troubles, in order to expose someone as less than me, worse than me, worse than us. It's when we get together with our little crew and we begin to talk bad about somebody and we're trying to say they aren't the same as us. It's that self-righteous foolishness that comes. Where does that all come from? Jesus says it starts in our heart. What comes out of our mouth proceeds from the heart. And then he says these are what defiles a person. So listen, here's the question I want you to write down if you want to write down a question. When words come out of my mouth, the question that I ought to reflect on is, what is my heart saying? What did my heart just say? It was my heart that just said something. And that's why, boy, using your words when you're angry and you're trying to get back at somebody and you're going to you've just got some stuff you need to say to them, which is always you trying to, you know, get them for what they've done to you, and you become the God, the Avenger. We talked about that last week. And what happens is that the my heart begins to basically testify, or to my heart is exposed by my mouth. You want to know what's going on in my heart? Just listen to me for a while. My heart's exposed by my mouth. What comes out of my mouth is a reflection of what's going on inside my heart. So if you want to know where my heart is, just listen to my mouth. And even just saying that, and by the way, I want to just tell you this, that when Jesus says out of the mouth proceeds these words, and it's let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, in the Greek, in the original language, mouths includes texting. That's right. In the original language, mouth includes texting and Facebook posts and Facebook comments. That's right. And so my whole point is that my heart gets exposed by what I say, no matter what the means of me saying it is. And so what happens is God says, you know, we're in trouble. And he says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Now, let me say this. I think that I may have done a teaching on this before, but I just want to tell you something, that if you get your anger completely under control, where there's no anger in your heart, if you get your lust mind completely in control, where your eyes are only on your spouse and you really desire no one but her, if you don't ever steal or think about stealing, that God has created in your heart such a contentment with what he has given you that you would never think to take something of your brother's. If you get all of those done, you won't tame your mouth. The mouth is the biggie. Listen how James says it. Well, in James 1:26, if you want to write this down, James 1:26, James says, this is Jesus' brother, if anyone thinks that he's religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart. That is, if you think that you've got this life in Christ worked out, and you don't yet know how to put a bridle on your tongue, your heart is deceived. You have no clue what God's talking about is what he's saying when he's saying that out of the heart the mouth speak, and you'd better learn how to rein your tongue in. No, but let me go on, because I need to tell you something what James also says. He says, we stumble in many ways, but if anyone doesn't stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man. And he's also able to bridle the rest of his body. And he's just saying, you know, like anger and lust and all that stuff, that is nothing for a guy that knows how to bridle his tongue. Listen what James also goes on to say. I'm just reading now out of James 3. He says this. He says, the tongue's a fire. It's a world of unrighteousness. And remember what Jesus said, always in the backdrop of this, is that my heart is being exposed by my tongue. So if my tongue's a fire, a world of unrighteousness, that means that's what's going on in my heart. And listen what he also says. He also says it's full of deadly poison. It's a restless evil. That is, and this is what he's talking about with this corrupting talk that he wants us to put off. He's like, don't you know that you have poison in your mouth right now that's going to destroy the work of God, that's going to hurt somebody, that's going to cut them down, that's going to disrupt the fellowship that's going to disrupt what God's trying to do in people's lives. Don't you know that in your mouth right now, because your heart's angry or because your heart's jealous or because your heart's self-righteous, don't you know that in your heart right now is lifting up words to your mouth that are fixing to tear people down? So he says, then he says this, and this is just the scary phrase. No human being can tame the tongue. And so, like I said, you can tame everything. You can't tame the tongue. And you know why? Because our hearts are in trouble and we need Jesus. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus is not going to count those sins against us, meaning that he has paid in full for every one of the sins that are in my heart, that are fixing to come out of my mouth. He has paid in full for them. But it does not mean that when that those things don't hurt and those things don't destroy and those things don't tear down instead of building up the things that are in my heart that come out of my mouth. It doesn't mean that. And what God says is, you, that's how you used to live when you were a Gentile. All these people say, I say what's on my mind. Well, let me just tell you, if what's on your mind is in your heart, you ought to think twice about saying it. Because your heart's a mess and it needs Jesus. And what your mouth ought to do is be led by the Spirit. And the Spirit is from God. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. But this is the put off part before I get to the put on part. And I'm just telling you this. I want to say it again, and I want to say it with some degree of clarity, that it's not just me. You know this. There's nothing that's ever hurt you. If somebody beats you with their fist, I'm just telling you, you can get over it. It conveys something that's deep and that's painful, and it's a betrayal and it's abuse and all that. But what I'm trying to tell you is that the things that people say that tear us down and tear us up and tear us apart with their mouth, those are the things. Those are the things that came out of the heart. And it's the reason why they're so hard to recover from. Because when I hear you say it, I think to myself, wow, that's what he thinks about me? Wow, that's what he believes? You know? And so our mouths are filled with trouble. And it's because our hearts are filled with trouble. And God says, listen, man, you have to learn to get a check on your mouth. When your heart is struggling and wrestling and at war, and it is, don't let that war come out of your mouth and start killing the wrong people, which is the body of Christ, which is the people that you love. Let the war go on inside your heart and mind. Let the Bible says that the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit lusts against the flesh. And let the battle be won in your heart and in your mind before your mouth comes open. Because if that happens, then your heart and your mind will be led by the Spirit, and so will your mouth. And so will your mouth. And so here's what God says to put on. He says, here's, so you put off this destructive talk that tears people down. And he says, and only, here's the only talk, here's what you put on. You put on talk that is good for building people up. You put on talk that's good for building people up. Now, and this one, this is simple. I'm going to refer back to Brett's sermon, because in Brett's sermon, go back just a couple verses. You don't have to go too far back in a couple verses, just up to chapter 4, verse 15 in your green book. Just go back up there, chapter 4, verses 15. And it says this. It says, rather speaking the truth in love. Okay. So that's what we're doing to each other. We're speaking the truth in love. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of speaking the truth in love? We're to grow up, okay, and be built up, right? And so let me just keep on reading. You're going to hear the word built up. We're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, which is Christ, right? My words ought to be spoken to you in a way that builds you up into Christ, right? We're all in the same journey. We're being transformed into the image of Christ, that head, perfect man. Okay, so from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint, this is what Christ does, with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So here's what your words are supposed to do. My words and your words are supposed to build each other up in love. That's what we're supposed to put on. We're supposed to speak the truth in love so that we build one another up in love. Proverbs 25:11 says this. Listen, it says, like a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Listen to this one. This one's a little bit nuanced because you think, well, you know, if you're only going to say words that build me up, you can't say any correction. Of course, that would bother me. Listen what he says. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. Why? Because even a rebuke, which is a dude, you're off track and you're fixing to really run your head into the wall, is done. It's the truth. It's done in love, and it's done for the purpose of building you up in love. So like if, let's say that you're talking to somebody, you're talking to your spouse, and if your words are words that are correcting, let's say that she's come in and she's given you a word of correction, but the word of correction is out of her love for you and builds up you up in love for each other, for the family, for the body, then that's a word that's like pure gold. That's a word that's like pure gold. And so let me go to this next phrase where he says, put on not only a building up word, but as it fits the occasion. I actually love this word. There's a lot of different nuanced translations here that kind of miss this way that the ESV really grabs this. A bunch of translations get it exactly the same, but this one is, it says, as it fits the occasion. So in other words, the word that is right on target, the word that is not spoken too soon, not spoken too late. There's many times where people will ask me, they'll say, Bobby, you know, I need to really, you know, go and get right with this person. You know, they really hurt me and I just need to sit down with them and begin to be reconciled. And I'll say, yeah, you're not ready. And they'll say, well, what do you mean? I said, you're still bitter. You're still angry. And if you showed up trying to reconcile right now, it'd be all about you letting them know some stuff. You'd be hurting them. And you wouldn't build them up. And you wouldn't be inviting them to restore a relationship with you. You'd be letting them know how bad they hurt you. And you'd letting them, you know. So you have to get rid of the bitterness and you have to get rid of the anger and you have to do your own work in your own heart before the occasion is fit for you to go and share that word with them. Now, listen, Jesus says settle matters quickly. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say, you know, you need to take a long time with this. People that have been bitter for 25 years are just have literally poisoned their whole life with their bitterness. So I'm not saying you don't need to get rid of this stuff fast, but I am saying that there's a time to say something and there's a right way to do it and a right time to do it. Listen how the Lord says this in Proverbs 15:28. I just want you to just listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. Remember what I just talked about? Do your heart work before you open your mouth. Who does that? Only the righteous does that. Listen to the person who's like the old man. Listen to the person. Here's how the old man does it. But the mouth of the wicked blurts out evil. Isn't that a powerful verse? Memorize that verse. Seriously, Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, when to answer, what to say, works out all the poison out of the answer, settles the matter with God before the mouth opens, so that the mouth is led by the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, which are kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and tenderness, self-control, so that those things are the things that are exhibited. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked just blurts out stuff. Are you the type of person who when you just get upset, just blurts out stuff? Well, likely you're acting like the old man, and that's evil. And don't blurt out evil. Well, I just say what's on my mind. Well, if it's evil, you ought to keep it in your mouth and in your mind, and you ought to let the Lord resolve that before your mouth gets open. Finally, the last injunction is that it may give grace to the hearer. Here's the why part of it. The why part of it is it's good. Hebrews 13:9 says it's good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. What is my word supposed to do? It's supposed to strengthen you. How can my word strengthen you? How can my word strengthen your heart to proclaim the grace of God to you? Now, let me listen to this. Okay, this is going to be our prayer when we leave tonight. It's going to be our prayer. We can just go ahead and pray it together now and then pray it again later and then pray it again every day. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, because that's where the words of my mouth come from, be acceptable in thy sight. And then he says this. These two things. And here's the how come. Here's the gospel. Because you're my rock and you're my redeemer. Okay, Lord. You've saved me by grace. And remember all of the times that the Bible says, I want you to do this because Christ, do this, be kind and tenderhearted, forgive one another. Why? Because God in Christ forgave you. Why do I put away slander and talking about people? Why would I put away talking bad about somebody, gossiping about somebody, exposing their weaknesses? And why would I do that? Because I'm one with the body. I don't want the body to be hurt. I want it to be built up. I know people's darkest secrets. I'll go to the grave with those dark secrets. Many of those people need to let those dark secrets out and they need to resolve their conflicts. But I know many of their dark secrets. I wouldn't in a million years open my mouth and expose their dark secrets. I don't want to expose their underbelly. Now, let me say this. That's my heart, and it's the truth, and it doesn't mean that I haven't done it. I'm just saying that in my worst times, in the times I regret the most, I've exposed somebody in a negative way to tear them down rather than to build them up. And I haven't done that out of my counseling chair. But I just remember times that I've just said things, you know, I've been mad at somebody. And so I want everybody else to be mad at them. And what comes out of my unforgiving and bitter heart is slander. And it just destroys everything. I've had to ask forgiveness for that. I've had to repent of it. And so let me just say this. Why? My God only uses his words to build me up. My God only uses his words. He's kind and he's loving. His love is perfect. His words are perfect. They're sharper than a two-edged sword. They expose the thoughts and the intents of my heart. They let me know where that foolishness and that corruption is. But all of that is to build me up. God never is the one who tears me down. He's not the accuser of the brethren. That's what the devil does. He's not the one that sows discord and destruction. That's what the devil does. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells that people are sowing discord and destruction and have nothing to do with them, because that's the devil's work. Here's the deal. Lord, would you let me please ponder how to answer so that the words that come out of my mouth build your people up in love? Would you let me, Lord, that no matter what's going on, that evil wouldn't come out of my mouth, that if the sins of my flesh are stirring up and their desires want to have their way, that I will do battle in my heart before my mouth comes open, and that my mouth will be led by the Spirit, led in love, led in truth, led in righteousness. Let's say that prayer together as we close. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my strength and my redeemer. God bless you all. Till next week, we love you.